little bit of a word, so we need to pray and we need to go forward. Father, without you, I can do nothing. But by the power of your Spirit, we can do all things. So I give you praise for this word this morning, and that it will give grace and healing and restoration for those who are going through hard spaces. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
You see, without the anointing, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to make a lot of noise. And you can make a lot of noise, and yes, you will probably put the enemy a little bit on the run, but in reality, you can be quiet before God and have an incredible encounter with Him. So, here we go. I want to take you to the book of St. Jude. The book of St. Jude. Just before the book of Revelations is the book of St. Jude. It's just one page, actually, in most Bibles. And I want you to remember that God is showing an example of what His body of believers are going to be doing during this little book. And He's really saying, verse 3, Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. He's talking about the church then, and I believe he's talking about the church now. There are many that are in the church. They say, we are Christians, we are believers, but the signs and the wonders that should be following them is not there. And you can see it. If you've got eyes and ears, you can see and you can hear. I'm not asking you to condemn. I'm asking you to intercede as the Holy Spirit guides you. St. Jude was warning that godless men, men with an attitude, and men with an agenda that wasn't from the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how do you know if it's an agenda from the Holy Spirit or an agenda from a man? Number one, if it's from a man, he's looking for position. He's looking for everybody to see him. He's looking to create attention. Jesus, by the same token, was in the background, walking along, doing what he was told to do by the Father. He did not attract attention. When people were hungry, he fed them. When they were sick, he laid hands. And when they were in need of resurrection, he went to the funeral and raised the dead. You say, well, wait a minute. Why didn't you raise your own mother? Because God speaks. You see, last week I talked about Peter knowing that there was a time coming where he would be delivered from this tent. And it's in the second letter of Peter. And I want to go back there because you can go online and listen to the message. But what I'm trying to tell you is, a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, I knew my mom was going home. I knew it like I knew my own name. I shared a little bit of that. 1 week later, 7 days to the day, my wife has a dream. We're up in Maine. She gets up and she says, well, I had a weird dream. She said, the dream was that I went to your father's funeral, which is 21 years ago. Now, how many know that if you have a mother-in-law, you also have a father-in-law? So the message was clear for me. She doesn't have her father-in-law anymore. That's past. But she's still got her mother-in-law. And there was going to be a funeral. Actually, it's 2 weeks ago that we had that funeral, that mirror, that dream. My youngest grandson, on Sunday, this past Sunday night, said to me, "Pep, I had a dream." He said, "How old was I when little Pepe died?" I said, "You were 6 years old." He says, "Well, I went to his funeral, and it was like I was right there." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now I've got three confirmations, and I'm getting ready in my heart. God's about to take Mama home. Am I sad? Well, if I didn't have a heart, I was sad. But you know what I heard? Get happy. She's putting a tent away that she used for 93 years. Yes, we put the tent in the ground, and my emotions did get the best of me for a little bit. But the saints of the Most High interceded for me so my heart could hold. And I want to thank each and every one of you for praying for me. You have no idea. And that's all over this nation. People are interceding for me. I got cards from different parts of the country yesterday. And I just overwhelmed with the grace of God. And all I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. All right? But I want to go back to the church. God is a God of love. Verse 5. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. That should give you a picture of what's to come. God sent his angel, picked up his people, took them out of the nation, and then what did he do? What did he do with Pharaoh's army? Anybody clue? Yeah. Who's got a clue? He destroyed the whole army. Now, when the Red Sea was before Moses and all the Israelites and they saw that incredible body of water, they looked at Moses and they said, "Well, you brought us here to die. But God made provision. He had given a stick of wood." A stick of wood. That's all you had. And the Lord said, "Lift it up. Use what you got." And he lifted it up. And what happened? The ocean opened up. Provision was made out of the impossible. And the very tool of the impossible was used to destroy the unbelievers. Are you catching on? So your very purpose is not to look at the problem, but to ask, "Lord, what have I got that will open this before me? And then, how will this be used to bury my enemies? How will it be used to bury your enemies?" See, those who are unbelievers are going to be buried alive at some point. And you say, "Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense." Yes, it does, because God doesn't change. When Noah got in the ark, his family got inside, and all of the unbelievers got what? Oh, they got baptized for good. All right? They didn't come out of the water, they stayed because of their what? Unbelief. Okay? I want you to go a little higher. Verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him," meaning have spoken against Jesus. So what's the pattern? The pattern is clear. God's going to get rid of those that can't stand your guts. And it's not going to be you doing it. It's going to be your intercession You're praying for them. Your intercession. And if they have an open door. I can remember one time the Holy Spirit showed me that there was a great big warlock pushing buttons to destroy me and to destroy the church. And he actually sent some of his witches to our church service on a Friday night. And I saw them. There were three of them. They were sitting in the middle aisle, all three, and they were there to do mischief. What they didn't know is the Holy Ghost had told us about it. The pastor did not have a connection with the intercessors. I did not say anything to him. I had not spoken. All I knew is we were having some war games. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the anointing, he gets up, he gets to the pulpit, he says, you three over there. And they were lined up like Mary O and Nancy and Nicholas. And he said, would you three stand up, please? So they stood up. Anybody remember that? Is it vague? This is back late 90s. Okay? Late 90s. So the three other ladies stood up. He said, you've had an assignment. Now, he didn't know what we had received in the intercessor's room. But the Holy Ghost was the same Holy Ghost that was in him, that was in us. He says, your assignment is to come here and snoop. He says, I'm giving you an opportunity. You can bow your knee now to Jesus Christ. You can come right down here and bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of your warlock that you're serving like slaves. He says, you're in witchcraft up to here and you don't even know that you're serving your own flesh. And the abuse that you're receiving from those that are using you haven't got a clue. Because you're too dumb to see the truth. But God is giving you a chance tonight. If you want to walk down to this altar, you can. But otherwise, your assignment is over. In the name of Jesus, if you don't want to come down here, get out. And all three of them went down the center aisle. We heard the door close. He said, Kim, go anoint the door. Take your oil, go anoint the door. I don't want that garbage coming in here. And we had a Holy Ghost party. We had a Holy Ghost party. But you see, he gave them an opportunity to bow their knee. That was an example to me. Your witches and warlocks are not your problem. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Many of them are going to be saved. Some of them are too dumb to see, too blind to see. Too darkened in their minds to know. Is it your job to criticize them? Absolutely not. Is it your job to give them a chance to come to the Lord? Yes, it is. Because you see, very many of those that are stuck are no different than where you and I used to live. So it's not all about judgment. It's about mercy triumphing over judgment. Don't judge them. You have no clue where they're at. Those that are in the occult haven't had the grace you've had, maybe. So don't pass judgment on them. Let them go. Let God do it. I want to repeat. The Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Look at their agenda. Verse 16 shows you what they do. These men are grumblers. You know, and you're going to find some of those in church. I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. They're always having a problem. Come on. You've got to have at least one person you can think of that's that way. At least one. All right? The other ones are fault finders. They're always seeing what's in the other guy and they never see what's in them. So a fault finder is what? He's a critic. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. You got the message? By the fruits, you will know them. If they've got an agenda to self-satisfy on every level, then you know where they're serving and who they're serving. Now, what's your job? Intercession. How can I pray for these, Lord? How can I lift them up? How can I find something good to tell them that they don't have to live there? They don't have to be there anymore. They can be changed. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, those that are having a hard time in the church, or those who are having a hard time with the church, we lift them up today. We ask that you would forgive their sin. Forgive them of their unbelief. We lift them up before you. And we release grace to them. We shout grace to the mountain of human obstacles that are in their way. If they've got problems with their hearing, God will set them free today. If they've got problems with their vision, and they can't see straight, Lord Jesus, by your mighty power, let the blindness be removed. Let them be healed today, so that they can humble themselves and be servants of the Most High God, because there's place for them in the kingdom. And there's a work to do just for them to glorify Jesus. Amen? And amen. I also want to tell you that during this entire week, everything that my wife and I were involved in has something to do with about sevens. The bills, we went and did a few errands. It was seven sevens and sevens and sevens and more sevens. But I want you to not forget one number, and that's number 17. Number 17, believe it or not, means victory. My mom and her body was put into the ground on the 17th day. And yesterday afternoon, before I left the restaurant, the bill was all number eights. So God was saying, you see, it's a new beginning. The old is passed away, it's complete, because number seven means completion. Now I want to go a little higher, because 70 years ago, look at your neighbor, say number 70. Has a meaning. Amen? 70 is Israel's captivity and return. Israel's captivity and return. God gave me a scripture, and I'm not going to go there right now because it's too long. But he told me that my mother was born of Israel. Yeah. She came down here and she served for 93 years and 4 months. When she was 23 and 4 months, she took me in. I was 9 months old. She was taking care of me for 70 years this month. It's completion. It's finished. He showed me this a month ago. And I knew that it was going to be in July. I just didn't know which date. So on the 17th, we had victory. So I'm living in a new creation, a new beginning, and I'm going to walk it out and enjoy every step of it. Amen. So look at your neighbor. Say 17
is the number of victory.
And I'm not going to forget it. Because I'm living. Proof. The victory. His last name is Jesus. Victory. Over death. Over sickness. Over disease. Over poverty. Over every fear.
Over every fear.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yippee, skippy.
Yippee, skippy. Don't lose it. Now you got to share some hugs with your neighbor, okay?